This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Joe, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you today?
Gentlemen, how are you doing? Apologize for being late. Availability ran a little long with the beat. So excited to be with you guys.
We didn't play theme music. I thought you deserved a King's theme music when you showed up on the show today.
That's how highly music. Peter thinks of you.
That's right. I was going to say the Ric Flair theme. I thought would have been appropriate.
Peter, why don't you tell him what you
Space Odyssey? Okay.
Why don't you tell him what you said to Tannenbaum?
All right, because he's going to shoot you down when you say it. Go ahead.
So we were talking to Mike Tannenbaum earlier, and I said, with this move that you made for Jamal Adams over the weekend, when seemingly you didn't have that much leverage because everyone knew Jamal wanted out, I believe the haul you got has me ready to crown you the number one GM in New York. What are your thoughts?
Oh, geez. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin with that one. We have so much work to do. I'm just excited about sitting in my office and having this conversation with you guys instead of being in my home office like I was the last time we talked.
So, Joe, this is what he did. All right, he jumped you over Brian Cashman with 4 World Series, jumped you over Lou Lamoriello, a Hall of Famer with 3 Stanley Cups.
That's
what he did with this one deal. So that's the kind of reactionary person Peter is. So
yeah,
I just want to know what you're dealing
with. Brian Cashman is like a Hall of Famer, isn't he? I mean, he's awesome.
So. You're on your way, Joe.
Nah.
All right,
just,
so let's get to the crux
of this.
Thing
going.
Did you do this because he talked his way out of town, or is this totally a football move?
You know, this was a move. Again, talking about great GMs, the chance to talk with John Schneider the last few weeks, and a guy who I really respect, and a program with him and Coach Carroll, they've been the model of consistency, and so working with him over the last few weeks was a real privilege, and nothing but respect for him. This move, it was an opportunity we couldn't pass up. And there were a few calls over the summer, but it was determined pretty quickly that Seattle was serious. And the communications with John were always first class and up front. And we were able to finalize everything a few days ago. And we feel like this gives us a lot of opportunity and flexibility moving forward.
So is this a deal, Joe, that would have happened even before Jamal's scorched earth of a week ago?
You know, I would say that there was a lot of discussions that happened before the article. I would say a lot of the framework was already in place. But at the end of the day, it was just an opportunity to make our team better.
Here's my one problem with the deal. I can't believe you got 2 number ones and you got a good free safety as well. All of that is great. But I look at it that he got his way. He now has set a template for how to get out of town. Just talk your way out, scorch the earth, insult the GM, insult the owner, insult the coach. That's why I'm not a GM, because I'm a vindictive sort. I would have had him sit on the bench the entire year. It only would have been a $3.6 million hit. Was there any thought to you that I can't get rid of this guy because he wants to be gotten rid of?
You know, oftentimes when you make big decisions, you do think about the precedent it sets moving forward. And, I think, we had a lot of different plans in place. And our communication, was great in terms of, with Adam, with Christopher. And, we did have plans in place, in case this opportunity didn't come available, but it did. And so, we're just looking forward. We're just moving forward and not looking back. And, we're just excited we were able to get the deal done.
Joe, he went after you in that article. Is it hard not to take something like that personally?
It's a business. You try not to take things personally. And obviously there was a reason. A tactic that the reason that was said. And you realize it's a business, and there's a reason that was said, and it didn't affect our decision making at all.
Now, in that Daily News story, he said that you promised him that you were going to give him a contract offer and that you didn't. So he essentially said that you did not tell the truth. Did you guys promise him that he would get a contract offer?
At no point did we ever promise Jamal or his agent that we were sending over a contract. So, again, most players, they rely on their agent to in these type of discussions. And, the conversations with Kevin was a first-class guy. And, I certainly appreciated talking with him. But there was never any promises in that regard to a contract coming over.
But there was a sentiment within the organization that there was a point in time where you were going to try to make something work, right? Was that ever passed along to him?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. That was always passed along that we had a long-term plan for Jamal. And I think I communicated that both in-house and to the public. And I still felt that way up until the point that we pulled the trigger on the trade. There was always a plan in place long term. This was just an opportunity that we felt really helped us in the future.
All right, so you're saying that what he said about you had no input on this at all. You didn't take it personally. It's a business. He is arguably the most talented player on your team, a former sixth pick of the first round. At some point, teams have to keep that player. So, if somebody offered you four first-round draft picks for Sam Darnold, I don't think you'd make that trade. So why did you accept this offer? Was it because of the salary demands? Because you can't say you become a better team without Jamal Adams.
I mean, we took this offer simply because two first-round picks plus a player a player in Bradley McDougal, who's a fantastic player, smart, savvy, he's been productive. Those were opportunities we felt could really springboard us into the future. And you're right, we need to get to the place where we're drafting, developing, and extending players. And I feel like we are going to get to that point. And in this specific deal, it just was an opportunity we couldn't walk away from.
Well, when did you last have an actual conversation with Jamal one-on-one, the two of you?
We exchanged a few texts over the summer. The last one-on-one conversation was our exit interview after the season.
And during that exit interview, did he ever articulate that he didn't like Adam Gase, the thing that came out in the story?
I've always kept the conversations I've had with a player, close to the vest and kept that in house. So I don't want to go over any details of any conversation I have with any player. But I feel like if you ask the majority of the team, and certainly if you ask me, we have the right coach.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You mentioned that you get back to the office, but I'm sure you saw what happened in Major League Baseball today with the Marlins testing positive. What's your comfort level that this football season is going to get going and be okay?
Look, I mean, I said this in the media availability as well. There are a lot of people out there that put our protocols together that are a lot smarter than I am, and I feel comfortable about the hard work and the effort that was put into these COVID protocols. Obviously, the league and the union agreed to it, and they feel good about it as well. So, obviously, that was a big story today about what happened in MLB, specifically with the Marlins. And so, I think, the point is that, oftentimes, and I think it's going to be the case here, the safest place that the player is going to be during the day is in our building from all the protocols that we have in place. But I think it's going to take a collective buy-in from the entire organization, not just the players, but the staff and the coaches, that our success or failure is going to be directly reflected on the decisions that we make outside of the building when we leave. And so it's going to take all of us, you know, to beat this, you know, and that's before we can even get on the field and start trying to beat opponents on the field. So, you know, it's going to be a group effort, and, you know, the teams that can really do a good job of protecting themselves are the teams that are going to have a competitive advantage.
Joe, as a football guy, longtime football guy, how much of a blow is it to not have any preseason games? And people just laugh it off, you know, they're a waste of time because they charge money for them. But, you know, a lot of decisions are made with preseason games. And, you know, Victor Cruz tweeted out today, if there was no preseason, I would never have made the Giants. I would never have been a player. So how much of a blow is that for you?
Yeah, you know, I saw a quote from Coach Carroll yesterday on how, you know, hey, this is something I had to deal with in college every year. There's no preseason. So I obviously, you know, from an evaluation standpoint, you don't get to see the back half of the roster in those competitive game situations. So, you know, we're going to have to try to do our best to create those type of situations in our practice environment, those type of highly competitive situations in practice. And so I feel like we're certainly going to have plenty of time on the field to evaluate our own team and to determine, you know, the best guys for this squad. Obviously, they're just not going to be hitting a different color until September. So I'm sure that's going to be a frustrating thing on their part. But, you know, I think with the time we're going to have with these guys on the field, we're going to be able to make good evaluations.
Jets GM Joe Douglas is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. Joe, what do you say to Jet fans that say, okay, I like the deal. He got an unbelievable return when we didn't think he would, but he still traded the team's best player. Are you punting on the season and getting draft picks to build?
No, we are not punting on the season. And I think what people are going to see is they're going to see a group of players that are in a fervor to prove that 6-2 last year wasn't a fluke at the end of the season, and it didn't matter if it was people perceived it as being a quote unquote softer back half of the year. 6-2 in the NFL, 6-2 in the NFL, and we've got a bunch of guys that are hungry to prove that wasn't a fluke. And so the goal is to take that momentum from the back half of the season and have it propel us into 2020. And we have the right type of guys, and we're trying to build this the right way, and we're trying to have the right type of character and chemistry within the organization. And you know, it's going to be affected directly by the type of people we have in the building every day. So we're, you know, the message to the fans is that we're trying to build this the right way, and it's going to be about the people.
I wonder one final thing. You know, you say you don't take it personally. If you saw Jamal Adams on the street, nobody was around, would you say, how could you lie about me? How could you lie that I said that? I mean, I know it's business, but if somebody lied to me about business, I'd be really, really upset. So are you upset with him personally?
Look, I mean, what's happened's happened. And obviously,
you're too nice. You're too nice.
Too nice.
Look, I mean, it's a business. And does it sting being called a liar? Yes, it does. But you know, I try to see, you know, why would a person say that, and what would the benefit be? And I think I was able to figure out what the benefit would be, and I didn't take it personally, you know. And so, you know, we play them at the end of the season, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
Go right at him.
Yeah.
Activate yourself. Go right at him.
Well, you mean put himself in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. He can still do it. He's in great shape.
Wow. I would love to see that, Coach. Get in there, Coach Douglas. Change it. You're not a GM anymore. You're a coach, player coach now.
No, those days are long gone.
Joe, thanks for coming on. We appreciate
it. Joe.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for
Take
having
care.
Me.
You
okay.
Got it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.